Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Religious freedom victory for Iowa Church now becomes final. This is Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me on Faith and Freedom to talk about this issue is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, this is a great victory for another church that we have represented, Calvary Chapel in Iowa, where in September, the judge rejected a petition from a group of Iowa taxpayers who wanted to revoke the church's tax-exempt status on two of its properties, the pastor's recently constructed home and a portion of the church's campus in Cedar Rapids used for a Christian daycare and school. So these taxpayers felt like the church shouldn't have tax-exempt status because it was simply a church.
Yeah, and it's because the pastor in this case, actually in his own private time on social media, made different statements about human sexuality, but also with regards to a particular candidate who was running for office. And one of the individuals who saw that preferred a different candidate running for office.
He was only exercising his free speech regarding biblical issues.
Yeah, so because the pastor of a church on his own private social media supported a candidate that's different than this other secular person's candidate of choice, that person then pursued this complaint against the church and filed this petition to revoke the church's tax-exempt status because the pastor had engaged in political campaigning by taking a position to support a candidate that the other person didn't support. I mean, it's ridiculous that this pastor does not have a First Amendment right to be able to speak on his own. That's essentially the position of this person who filed the complaint.
But you know, that's what the other side does. If they don't like your speech, then they're going to come against it, even if you're a church and a pastor. But he does have a First Amendment right to speak on his own. He's not, you know, blaspheming anything. He's just speaking in favor of a particular candidate that represents biblical issues.
Yeah, so this case actually began in October 2023. The church's pastor spoke out publicly about the sexualization of children, held a book reading of, quote, Jesus and My Gender, that's a book, in response to drag queen story time, and then endorsed school board candidates on his personal social media. Then in November of 2023, several local Iowa taxpayers petitioned against the church's tax exemptions. One of the petitioners, Dustin Brooks of Marion, serves on a local diversity and equity committee and is committee chairman for the school board candidate. The pastor did not support. Brooks essentially stated that the church getting involved in politics while not paying taxes had lit his fire a little bit. That's a quote from him. Well, so what? You know, his fire can be lit all it wants to. The church still has a right to be able to engage in activity, and the pastor can speak on his own private time, which is what he did.
And so, the church should be getting involved in political issues because they're biblical issues.
And this was just simply retaliatory. It was a baseless petition, but it sought to revoke the church's property tax exemptions by arguing that these properties were not being used solely for religious purposes because the pastor's family are, quote, non-ecclesiastical personnel, close quote, residing in the home and due to the daycare, taking in revenue. Now, again, that's just ridiculous as well. How can the pastor's family be non-ecclesiastical personnel? And it doesn't matter.
They're all in ministry together.
Whether the daycare takes in revenue, that doesn't change its tax-exempt status for doing what it does. But he filed it with this particular commission, and there was an organization that is called the Kirkwood Institute. Liberty Counsel partnered with the Kirkwood Institute, and we filed a brief before the administrative law judge, Jonathan Gallagher. And the Judge Gallagher issued a decision in September of 2024, finding that there was no basis for taking the tax-exempt status. And in fact, what we argued in this particular motion is that the free exercise clause of religion of the First Amendment and also the state's newly enacted Religious Freedom Restoration Act protects the church, because this would place a significant burden on the exercise of its religious practice and belief by taking away its tax-exempt status for simply doing what is legally to do. Judge Gallagher sided with our brief, and he said to hold otherwise would be to allow the unaccountable political opponents of a church the option to use the power of the state to target and or retaliate against the religious organization for the organization's activities, thereby creating a chilling effect not only on that specific religious group, but also on all other similarly oriented religious organizations. This is precisely, he writes, the type of religious interference that RFRA was designed to prevent, and until the judiciary provides different guidance on the scope of RFRA, this case must be dismissed.
Amen. You know, man, I think about Bill Bright, who is the co-founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. Now it's called CRU. And I remember one time he was sharing the gospel with a man, and he's asking him, you know, where do you go to church? And he goes, I don't believe in church. I don't go to church. And so Bill Bright came back and said, now think about what would your community be like if there were no churches? And he paused for a moment. He goes, I'll be in church on Sunday. But think about that. If there were no churches in any of these communities, what would it be like?
Well, you know, Rodney Howard Brown's church, The River, over in the Tampa area, is an amazing church, and they feed, I don't know what the numbers are now, but the last time we checked was 800 families per week, free. And I have been to one of their mm-hmm. services where it is a massive service. The people have a wristband that is placed on their wrist to enter the service, and that means that they've actually come to the service at the very beginning, and they got the wristband, and they were listening to the entire service, mm-hmm. and then they walk over to the place where they can get the free food, and they have the wristband on their wrist, and that shows that they had attended the service. And then those families get food for the week, 800 families. It's a massive outreach, and that's just a portion of what the church does. It's more than just a feeding ministry, but it feeds 800 families a week. And as a result of that church, they go into the inner city, mm-hmm. places where some of the police officers are not necessarily eager to go to because of crime. They go into the inner city. They minister to the inner city, and because of the church, the sheriff's department has recognized that the church itself has been instrumental in reducing crime in that inner city.
Absolutely. If a church is really fulfilling its mission, it's not only sharing the gospel, it's not only teaching and empowering people with biblical issues to get involved in the culture, but that church itself is reaching the community physically, spiritually, and emotionally.
Yeah, and so, you know, sharing the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the essence of
it. That's the starting line.
And that is transformative. Mm-hmm. And so when that is understood and you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that He lived, He died, He paid the penalty for our sins, and He rose again, and He invites us into His presence, that is transformative, mm-hmm. and that's where the church transforms the community, because the people of the church, which are the individuals that make up the body of the church, are themselves transformed. And churches need to be transformative in their community. So, you know, what he said, if you really think about it, if there were no churches, there would be no religious freedom.
Absolutely.
It's the church. It's the gospel.
It would be a very dark place.
Yes, that argues for, that defends religious freedom for all people of all faiths or no faith, that you have the freedom to be able to believe or not believe, because we're not going to coerce you. It's antithetical right. to the gospel to coerce you to believe in something. It is part of the gospel of change in your heart, which ultimately changes your behavior.
But we as the Church of Christ are to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and that means helping to feed people, helping to get them on their feet if they're having a hard time. Whatever it means, it's a positive influence for Jesus in that community.
Or after school clubs like Good News Clubs that Child Evangelism Fellowship provide lots of ways for the church to transform. And this particular church, Calvary Chapel, and many of the Calvary Chapels around the country are in that same category, transformative. And that's why it's so important for us to defend and advance religious freedom, particularly on behalf of these churches. For more information, visit lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.